these are the girls, and I'm going to pass the mic down and let each one of them. Okay. Well, like, they're going up there, so I'm going to pass the mic down and let each one of them introduce themselves and say their stand-on verse.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth. I am 33. My stand-on verse is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and give you hope for a future.
My name is Kathy Stout, and my stand-on verse is John 5:14. That I am the light of the world and the city. Okay. Yeah, I got this.
Got it?
Yes, I got it.
You want to come back?
For I am the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden.
I'm Natalise Fox. I've been in the program now 8 months. And my stand-on verse is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
My name is Princess. I'm 31. I've been in the program almost 8 months. And my stand-on verse is Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift from God and not by works, lest any man boast.
My name is Olivia. I am 22. I've been in the program for almost 7 months. My stand-on verse is Galatians 6:9. And let us not get tired of doing what is right, for we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't get discouraged and give up.
My name is Stephanie. I've been in the program for 5 months. I'm 35 years old, and my stand-on verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. The old's gone, the new's come.
So some of these ladies are going to give their testimony. I just wanted to tell y'all that, like, they're going to give testimonies, but each one of these ladies has a different story, myself included, every single one of them that comes in. And every one of y'all have a testimony as well. Different ways that the Lord has picked us up and brought us forward. I love hearing these testimonies because the drugs in our world right now, it's an epidemic. It's everywhere. If I asked y'all to raise hands right now, I bet each one of you can tell me somebody that you love that has been touched by drugs, by alcohol, by abuse, by something that has changed them and altered their view of God. So, and this program helps us to see God for who he is and how he loves each and every one of his children. So I'm going to start with Stephanie.
Hello, church. As I said, I'm Stephanie. I'm 35 years old, and I'm from a very small town in Kentucky. I'm very blessed to be standing here today. My life didn't start out so good. I had an alcoholic mother, and I've never known my earthly father at all. So my early years were spent behind the bars and a lot of bars, out in the car, in the parking lot, wherever my mother could carry me to. By the time I started school, she couldn't carry me around as much to parties and bars, so she took me to my aunt's and dropped me off there. I was raised by my aunt and my uncle. My aunt did her best. She worked a lot of jobs to provide for us kids, but my uncle was very abusive. Not only to her, but to also to us kids. So I spent a lot of time hiding. Whenever we would hear him coming, we knew to run. So home life was not the best. I loved school because I got away. It was a way out. And I did well in school, despite everything that was going on in home. By the time I was 13, I discovered drugs and alcohol and was experimenting a little bit. But when I was in high school, when I was 15, I met my husband. And that was my way out of my home life. So I moved in with him. And by the next year, by the time I was 16, I was expecting our first child. Due to some problems in the pregnancy, my daughter Alexis was born premature. She was born at 30 weeks. She weighed 2 pounds, 2 ounces. So she was in the hospital almost the whole time. The day before she was to turn 6 months old, she had a surgery scheduled, and she did not make it through that surgery. So I lost my first daughter. I was 17 years old, my husband was as well. So we were kids facing very adult problems. And the only way I knew to face those problems was to turn to even harder drugs. I spent many years on and off drugs. I was in and out of rehabs, doing everything I could. but my drug use only became worse. I did go on to have two more beautiful children, Destiny and Logan, which are now teenagers. But I did everything I could to hide that drug use from my family, my husband. But what's done in the dark is eventually going to come to the light. So my whole family, my husband, found out about everything. And Proverbs 14:1 says that a wise woman builds her house, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. And that's what I did. For 15 years, I wrecked not only my life, but the life of my husband, the life of my two beautiful children. Every time that I thought I could get it together, I completely destroyed it again. I was in and out of jail. In 2013, I found myself sitting in jail this time, facing some very serious charges. I knew there was no getting out. I was sentenced to 23 years, and I was sent to prison. I sat in prison, and I began to go to chapel services in prison, and I met a prison chaplain who told me about a program called Teen Challenge. And at first, I was like, no, that's not for me. I can't do that. But the more I sat there, the more I thought about it. And I thought, okay, Lord, if you want me to go, I'll go, but you're going to have to make a way. They called my name over the loudspeaker, and I appeared before the parole board. I was granted parole upon the completion of Teen Challenge. So I entered the Teen Challenge program in Livingston, Tennessee, and I completed that program in 2015. I walked out and I had religion. I had knowledge of the Bible, but I did not have a relationship with the Lord. I went on home and was a mother to my kids for a couple of years, but I started making small compromises, and I let the world in. And eventually those small compromises led to big compromises, and I'd relapsed again. I got scared and I ran for a couple of months, but it didn't last very long. I found myself back in jail. And sitting there, I cried out to the Lord again. I knew that he had a calling upon my life. And I told him, I said, okay, Lord, you know, here I am. If it's your will for me to be in jail, then I'll serve you in jail. But if not, put me where you want me. And through a miracle, I was not sentenced back to prison. I was able to come back to Teen Challenge, this time in San Antonio. And when I walked on this campus, I felt the love of God pouring out like I had never felt before, through the staff, through the interns, through the girls. And the difference is today is that I have a relationship with the Lord. It's not just religion. I know that this is a lifestyle change. And I have a love for the Lord like never before. I'm able to forgive people in my past, my mother, myself. The Lord's restoring relationships with my kids that I never thought was possible. And he's given me back all the years that the locusts have eaten.
Hi, my name is Princess. I'm 31. I had a very rough start in life. Both my parents were addicts. And at the age of 5, my parents sold me. This went on for quite a few years. When I was 12, I got locked up, and that was my getaway from my family. But I stayed there till I was almost 17, and then I went to a foster home. And it wasn't any difference in the foster home. I was also abused there. I finally managed to get adopted out of a foster home, and I got married. And I had my first child when I was 17. And I didn't stick around. I decided I wanted a life different than that, and I left my husband. Right after my 18th birthday, I started experimenting with drugs, and that was all it took. For the next 2 years, I stayed pretty out of it, and I got pregnant with twins, and when I was 7.5 months pregnant, I was in a car wreck. And my son died in my arms. There wasn't any any God in my life. I didn't believe in God. I had decided when I was 12 that God didn't exist. And so I went on, and I got sober. I had a good man in my life, and for the next couple years we did the sober thing, and we're raising two of my kids, and then I got pregnant again. And when Kevin was 2 months old, he died in my arms. It wasn't much longer that I turned back to drugs. And that's all that seemed to help. I was completely broken. I didn't feel anything, really. I was numb. And I got myself locked up again. I lost my other two children, and I stayed on drugs. And I started living a life of crime and serious crime. And I ended up in prison. And after a year in prison, I got out, and from day one, I was right back to drugs. And nothing had changed. I still didn't have anybody in my life that I trusted. There wasn't a person that I would go to for any type of help or advice. And so the next 2 years, I stayed as high as I possibly could. I got pregnant a couple more times, and all of them I had carried full term and then lost my children. To me, life was very dark. It was full of death and pain, and nothing seemed to matter. I managed to lose everything that I cared about, and I wouldn't turn for help. I didn't believe that I needed help. I was okay. I was tough. And I got myself into a lot of trouble, and I got arrested again. And this time I was facing some pretty serious charges. I was very scared, but I felt that I had already lost everything, that this was just somewhere for me to stay. And while I was in jail, I met somebody that showed me the way to God. And I was still very skeptical. I listened, but I didn't really soak anything in. And when I went to prison this next time, I decided to let go of every person in my life and the lifestyle that I had lived for so many years. There had to be something better. So I cut off complete contact with every single person that I knew. And I knew that I didn't want to go home. I knew that I couldn't go home. I knew if I went home, I was dead. And so I had a bus ticket to go right back home because I didn't have any direction to go other than what I had come from. And 10 days before I got released, I got a visit. And I didn't have a visitation list. I didn't fill one out. I didn't make phone calls, and I didn't write letters. So when they called me for a visitation, I was like, you got the wrong inmate. And when I walked around the corner, my stepfather, who I hadn't talked to in 21 years, was sitting there. And he told me that he knew how I could get the best life. And he told me about Teen Challenge. And I've only been here 8 months, and I have seen so much change in my life. I am a completely different person. I have let go of most of my toughness is gone, and I feel for people. I feel for myself, and I have found a worth that is priceless. And I have sisters around me that love me, and I love them. And there's a beauty in life now that I see. I had tried so much to kill who I was, not just as in spirit, but as in person, and never could succeed. And now it's like I thrive to live. I can't wait to see what God has in store for me. Life to me has a meaning now. And I am priceless beyond imagination. God has definitely come into my world and changed everything about it, changed me and my perspective on life.
The stories are really good. It's crazy how we can go through so many different things in life, and no matter what happens to you, God can change your situation. He is the person that makes the impossible possible. And so the last testimony that we're going to hear is from Liz. And I know that Elizabeth Dabney, that y'all have already heard her testimony. Some of y'all have walked through her testimony with her. But she has a lot of news of the different things that God has done in her life. So,
hello, family. How are y'all doing? Yes, I know many of y'all have heard my testimony, so I didn't want to really dwell on much of the past. And, that's just giving glory to the wrong person, I think. So we're just going to kind of talk about what God has done since I've been here. I mean, after hearing these two women, I mean, every day that I'm on the campus, it's like I just wish people could come and see every day. Like, I mean, if anyone ever doubts God or doubts what he can do, like, I just wish you could see how some of these women are when they come in, and like when you get to visibly see, like absolutely see God's miracles every day, I can't even begin to put into words like how just amazing and how wonderful he is. And you know, for so long I had walked away from him and just thought, you know, you're not here, you've abandoned me, like why is my life like this? And, you know, I've realized looking back, it's like when you ask God for something, he's either going to say yes, no, or wait. And on a lot of things in my life, you know, he was just saying, wait, I've got something for you. I've got a purpose for you. And I can look back at some of the times, you know, when I just thought, I'm not going to make it out of this place. I'm not going to make it out of here. And I can see where he was just sitting there saying, hey, it's okay. I've got you. We're going to make it through this. I'm going to get you through this so that you can come through and you can stand up and you can give your testimony and you can tell people, you know, where I was, that I was with you and that I'm here with you and that I'm going to bring you through. And no matter how low you are, like if you just reach up to him, he's going to bring you out of it. I have seen him break down anger. I have seen him take away fear. I have seen him break down prejudices. I have seen him do things that I just never thought were even possible. And I get to see it every day. And it's such an amazing thing. It's just such a blessing to see what he can do. You know, before I came in here, when my name would come up on caller ID, I'm sure people in my family were scared. It's either the police saying she's gone, or she's in jail, or I want something. And now, you know, they pick up the phone and I don't hear trepidation in their voice. I don't hear fear. I just hear, hello, how are you? I love you. And that alone is just such a blessing. My children are thriving. They're beautiful. They're loving. They are hungry for God. They're looking towards, you know, their future. And as God is changing me, he's changing my family. He's changing, you know, I've seen one of my nephews get baptized. My sister-in-law was just recently baptized. My brother is over in Iraq looking into baptizing soldiers over there. It's becoming just this beautiful revival in my own life and my family's life and my friend's life. These girls here, I never really had friends. The only kind of friends that I had were the friends that needed something from me or that I needed something from. I wear this charm on my necklace here. It's an elephant, symbolizes family that I got from Princess, because these girls are my family. They always will be. I love them fiercely, and they love me, and I'm just so, so grateful. I am so grateful to stand here in this church and look at all of y'all and to be able to say that there is healing in my life, spiritually, physically. I don't have any lasting effects from the years that I was in my mess, which in itself is a blessing that can only be God. There are so many times that I should not have made it home, that I should not have walked away, that I should not have woken up. And God was just saying, no, not for you. You've got a purpose. I'm going on a mission trip at the end of October. Very excited about that. I'll get to spread my testimony and the good news to take on the Great Commission. I'm very, very excited. Miss Madalise is going with me as well. But yes, so if you have any questions for any of these girls, they're all very open. Love to tell you about anything you want to know. If you have any questions about Teen Challenge, if you know someone who's hurting, someone who's struggling, please come to us. We would love to help you. God is waiting for you. He's ready to help. And we love y'all. Thank you so much for having us today. And with that, I think I will give it back over to Sarah.
So there's a new program that we're doing. It's a sponsorship program. There's a lot of people that kept coming and asking, I want to help. I want to do something for the girls. Some of these girls, Stephanie, she gave her testimony. She's from Kentucky. So her family doesn't get to come. Like my family lived 7 hours away. So they came maybe three times during the year. But... So some of these people don't get visits, they don't get things that happen. And so our sponsorship program is $35 a month, and it helps to where you can write letters to the girls. I had a sponsor that wrote me letters. She came to visit. She came to my graduation. She was such an inspiration. And so it's just an option that y'all have. So we'll play that video now.
Okay, now, if you're not inspired, you're dead. What a wonderful program. You know what Donna and I do, and Crystal and Wendy. We get to clean up some of these messes. We do Kairos Prison Ministry. It's and jail. Well, yeah, Don and I do jail, but and there are people in the church here to help us. But we understand. And
let me say something. I didn't understand until it touched our life. And I'm going to do this. I just wanted to say about the sponsorship business. To be a sponsor and to pay the $35 a month is one thing. But to go and to see these young women, to sit with them, to share a hamburger that you bought at Whataburger on your way to the campus is priceless. There are girls that have been there for months, and nobody came to see them. Nobody sent them a card. nothing, but they're there, and they're strong, and they're standing strong in the Lord. But they could certainly use a grandma or a mom or a whoever. These are my grandkids. These are my girls. Yes. And they can be your girls, too.
Yes, it is. The testimonies break your heart. There's so much bad out there. And we as Christians need to lead the way. We need to find those people that are hurting. We need to help them change their lives. In Sunday school, adult Sunday school, but we've been watching videos by Francis Chan. In one of his videos, not one that we've seen recently, but one of those videos, he said, "Do you hate somebody enough not to tell them about Jesus Christ?" Think about that. There's a lot of hurt in this world, and we have the ability to make a difference. Like Chris said earlier, we've got feast and fellowship today, so everybody come eat. Let's pray for the meal. Father, we ask you to bless the food that we're about to partake, and we ask you to bless the hands that prepared it. And Father, we go in as family. And we just ask that you help us share the love not only with family, but to those out there that need love. And Father, we offer this prayer in your Son's name. Amen.